Hey, welcome to IKEA, where even this desk is circular.
Huh. How so? Looks pretty rectangular to me.
It's because we're always looking to repair, reuse, and relove our products, like buying back your IKEA items for store credit. Or shop our as-is section for great deals. You can even order free spare parts. Get on the circular path for a more sustainable future.
Still a rectangle.
Get started at IKEA-USA.com/circular. Visit IKEA-USA.com/circular for as-is information and buyback and resale terms and conditions. Spare parts not available for all products.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
Actually, I hope COVID doesn't take over any more than it has, right? That's definitely the way we want to say it. We are on the journey to week 9 of the NFL season, which begins tonight between the 49ers and the Green Bay Packers. We'll talk about the 49ers quarterback that just can't stay healthy and missing this matchup with Aaron Rodgers, old number 12, as Key said. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin here, presented by Progressive Insurance. But first, the greatest 49er quarterback of all, weighing in on the Adam Schefter podcast. Adam will be here, by the way, at 8:45 a.m. Eastern. Joe Montana, folks, is 64 years old. But hey, Tom Brady grew up dreaming of being Joe Montana, was at the NFC Championship game Key in 1981, the catch Montana to Clark. And if Brady can play at the age of 43, I mean, why can't Joe Cool return at the age of 64?
I started running again and started throwing. I'm going to make a comeback at 64, I think.
you're running and you are training to come back as an NFL quarterback. Is that? I just want to make sure we get our facts straight so I can report this on ESPN here.
I wish I could. I've had my share of surgery, Adam. I'm not sure I can run from here to my front door.
Then again, he was never fleet of foot, so we're not going to hang him on the front door.
No, thing. Montana was nice, though. Montana was nice.
You think, I mean, he's not as fleet of foot as his successor.
Well, no, but he still can move around. He can move around. He wasn't a running quarterback, but Montana was so, man, he was butter. I feel like I got cheated in my NFL career. When you start thinking about, like, Montanas and Bradys, you just get jealous of these dudes that was able to play with those type of guys, man. It's just Montana. You know, obviously Brady is one of the best of all times, but growing up in California and being there and being able to see Montana just it was like flawless. And then as I started to grow and get older and started to really look at professional football as an opportunity for myself, I really started watching and really understanding football. Man, that dude was ridiculous.
Key, I feel like for me, when I started really paying attention to basketball, a guy like Zeke, right? Isaiah Thomas, because I wasn't going to be 6'5", wasn't going to be 6'6".
Well, you just
Yeah, but you can still make a lot of money and do my thing and still be one of the best guards. But it was about the nuances, the details. What details did you see that Joe Montana had that really made him stand out once you got into the nuances of the game?
Well, it's more like he was cool. He was just like, there was no panic that set in. He got knocked around. I remember, I think it was a Giant game in a playoff game. He got knocked around a lot, but he never bounced. I mean, you know what I'm saying? He never bowed down to the situation. And every pass was like a handoff. And as a receiver, you want that. You want a quarterback that's delivering the ball to you in your hands, in your gut, so you can take it and run with it. And that was him. It was just like, damn, man, he good? You know, you're just looking at it. It's like, he's good?
So for those young enough, and we'll move on to the 49ers' current-day quarterback, who won't be their current quarterback tonight, Joe Montana. He had the Jordan thing, right? Remember Jordan, 6-0 in the finals, 6 MVPs. Yeah. Joe Montana, 4 Super Bowls, 4-0, and never threw a pick.
Zubin, he's your GOAT, right? I heard you say this on our show before. He's your GOAT.
4-0 in the biggest stage in the world, never threw a pick in the Super Bowl.
He left San Francisco. He left San Francisco, went to Kansas City, had him in the AFC Championship game.
Right. And it's the old saying, if you can trade Gretzky, you can trade Montana, yeah. Everybody.
It's for sale. Everybody can go.
100%. A great trip down memory lane there for Joe Montana. The memories for Jimmy G, we might have to start stacking them up because there may not be too many left here. We're not going to get Jimmy G and Aaron Rodgers tonight. We're going to get Aaron Rodgers and Nick Mullins. Key, Jay mentioned it's the second time Garoppolo's been hurt. They are not on the hook for any money next year. There would be a $2.8 million dead money cap hit, which is a pittance in the NFL, but size it up tonight. It was going to be Garoppolo and Rodgers, and now it's Rodgers and Nick Mullins.
Well, it's a simple formula. To look at the Minnesota Viking tape from a week ago and see if you can duplicate running the football and limiting Nick Mullins' throws. and hope that you can get Aaron Rodgers on the ground, and that's how you can win if you're San Francisco. Kyle Shanahan's done a tremendous job, as far as I'm concerned, getting the four victories despite not having the 53-man roster he came into the season with. A lot of guys on IR, things are happening to the organization. They're going to be without their two top receivers again tonight in Brandon Ayuk and Deebo Samuel. So mm-hmm. they're going to be without those two guys, out without Kittle. So that's three of their top weapons on offense. So it's kind of like, what do? You go back, you look at the tape, and you say, you know what? We're going to limit our mistakes on offense with Nick. We're not going to allow him to throw the ball all over the lot. We're going to run the football, and we're going to try to play defense to get Aaron Rodgers on the ground.
Every time I watch a 49er game, I just walk away more and more amazed at the brilliance of Kyle Shanahan, right? So I know we talk about the Jets a lot, and you hear Joe Douglas describe Adam Gase as a brilliant offensive mind. No, that guy's in San Francisco, and that's Kyle Shanahan. So I think how we describe this narrative moving forward, hey, the 49ers are playing the Packers today. No, Kyle Shanahan is playing the Packers today. And I would agree with you, Zubin, that you said in the 7 o'clock hour that if he finds a way to get this team to 7 wins, he has to be coach of the year, right? I mean, with the depletion of injuries that this team has had, Jimmy G being hurt, George Kittle out for, you know, what, 6 to 8 weeks, something like that.
Should be 8 for him, maybe 6 for Jimmy G.
Everybody pretty much being decimated. On
the season's over at that point, though. 6-8, the season's pretty much over.
Right. Unless you're 1-7 and rally.
I was about to say, when he said that Kyle Shanahan is the coach of the year, I was about to say, well, unless you're 1-7 and you get to the playoffs.
We got to give it to Joe Judge.
Can I say something random, though? You know, we always end up talking about the Jets here and what they should do. Can you imagine if Sam Darnold played for the San Francisco 49ers? Can you imagine if a guy like that with an arm like that was underneath the tutelage of Kyle Shanahan?
Yes, not even the 49ers, right? He could stay where he's at with the Jets, but if he had a Kyle Shanahan calling the plays and putting him in the positions to be successful, that's where you get it right at.
But you have to think, if you're Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers, that would be a target of yours, right? If Jimmy G's, he's not going to be the long-term answer. Who's the right QB to bring there?
I mean, it might be. I mean, he played in the West Coast system in college.
Exactly.
So it could be somebody if the Jets are willing to move him. But I don't know that the Jets are willing to move Sam unless it's the right price and all those sort of things. They flirted with Tom Brady last year. So that told you that they were not sold on Jimmy Garoppolo. They flirted with Tom Brady. A guy just took you to the Super Bowl on a missed throw. You could have been winning the Super Bowl. And then 2 months later, or maybe not even 2 months, who knows when the conversation started, you picked up the phone to inquire about Tom Brady.
Cold world, Key.
And so it's like, you know, and then you had to go back and look at him in his face and be like, yeah, we love you. You're our guy. But yet and still, you're trying to replace him.
But Jimmy G had to know what this is. I mean, the writing's all over the wall, right?
Yeah, but it doesn't feel good, though, Jay. Think about it, though. All of a sudden, if Chicago drafts you and you don't have a motorcycle accident to derail your career, but you balling, and in year two, they go out there and get like some other point guard, like, you're a guy, Jay, but then somebody's in free agency they looking at because they want to bring him in to replace you because you turned the ball over one time. I mean, that's, it doesn't feel good.
Yeah.
From one time to one day, listen to this, more COVID news.
Jeez.
The Texans are shutting down their facility for the day after a player tested positive for COVID-19. TV term, Jay will be tipping an IA in the commercial. We're just kidding.
Go ahead, Jay. Take it away.
It's one player, right?
That, by the way, according to Adam Schefter, they're just going to close it down for the day. No particular details on exactly what's going on. If you're wondering, Houston is scheduled to play Jacksonville on Sunday. But right now, the facility, according to Adam Schefter, will be shut down for the day. We shut down the possibility of an Aaron Rodgers-Jimmy G matchup tonight because Jimmy G is still on the mend. We also won't get Haskins and Jones on Sunday. The Washington football team was scheduled to play the New York Giants, although that may not be a bad thing when you consider it. But we're asking you on the Dr. Pepper call-in line, who made a bigger mistake, the Washington football team by drafting Haskins or the Giants by selecting Daniel Jones? We'll get to your calls in a bit. Line them up, 888-729-3776, or of course, make it easier, 888-SAY-ESPN, Key J and Z as well. Simply put, bigger faux pas, Haskins, Jones. We'll talk about it. Safe to say, when the Seahawks selected this dude in the third round, they have no regrets. Mr. Unlimited on 710 ESPN. It's time for Take Your Pick, where we're going to start with Wilson. Essentially, I'm going to give the fellas six great quarterback matchups this weekend, and we'll have the fellas take your pick. Who's going to have the better game? Here we go. Let's start with Mr. Unlimited against...
Believe it. Of course, it's Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson for sure.
Versus anybody, right? Yeah, I don't even have to say the other guy.
Especially Josh Allen.
Yeah, but Josh Allen hasn't played well here in the last couple games. So Russell Wilson is an MVP candidate. He's moving forward. Russell Wilson all day long.
Not even a question.
It's a wrap. Lamar Jackson and Phil Rivers. Mm.
You know, this is interesting one to me. I'm going to take Lamar Jackson in this situation because I think that the Baltimore Ravens defense will force Phillip Rivers into some mistakes, and it'll get back to the Phillip Rivers of old. Although the last couple games, he's played okay to get some W's.
I'm going to go with Phillip Rivers here. I think when he's on top of his game, this Colts team is pretty darn good, and their defense can step up to the challenge as well.
Not as old as Montana, but Phillip Rivers is old. Teddy Bridgewater and Mahomes.
Patrick Mahomes. I like Teddy. Teddy's a great, great manager of the football. He knows what to do, how to win. I'm comfortable with him. But Patrick Mahomes.
I love these type of questions on tests back in high school, college. I mean, it's easy. Just pencil in Patrick Mahomes.
You could put that baby in pen, I think, too. All right, so here's the one because, you know, Key has been all over Derek Carr all year long.
At
4-3, he does believe that the Raiders are a Super Bowl contender. I love this one. Derek Carr and the young kid, Justin Herbert.
Derek Carr. Derek Carr, I think Derek Carr's on to something. You know, he's played solid. He's might one or two stinkers here along the way, but for the most part, he's been solid. This guy, a couple years ago, was headed in the right direction as far as being an MVP candidate, getting his team to the playoffs. They lost to Houston when he got hurt, but it's Carr for me.
You have to go with Carr. I just can't watch the way the Chargers lose games anymore.
Fair enough.
It's been so tough.
The Falcons are like, that's devastating. That does say something. All right. Tua Tagovailoa, by the way, Tua's brother is going to join us a little bit later this morning against...
Cute Kyler.
See, I can say his name. Tua Tagovailoa. No problem. Rolls right off the tongue.
That sounded
almost. That was almost
that
right.
Horrible.
That was almost right.
Tua Tagovailoa.
Tagovailoa.
Tagovailoa. There you go. Tua Tagovailoa.
There you go.
I'm taking Kyler Murray in this situation. Kyler Murray, because I think that because of the dual threat possibilities with him, if you stop him from throwing the football, you take away DeAndre Hopkins and try and force him to go to Christian Kirk or Edmonds or Larry Fitzgerald, he can pull it down and he can run. And it could be very cute.
This is the Mighty Mouse matchup. I'm taking Kyler in this.
What? You ain't in it?
Huh?
Never mind. Go ahead.
Oh, come on now.
I'm 6'2", kid.
5'11", 157. Still can fit into my high school jersey, although I didn't play much. Okay. By the way, Tua's brother, Talia, will join us at 9:05 a.m. Eastern. He's now at Maryland, and he actually balled out last week looking good. We'll see what happens with his brother and Kyler Murray. And then the last one, Sunday Night Football, Tom Brady and Drew Brees.
I'm going to magically hope that my nephew is playing, and I'm going to take Drew Brees in this situation.
Okay. Michael Thomas, what do you think?
I'd say you have to take Drew Brees, right, because you have them ranked the better team to win.
No, you don't have to take them. I just...
I'm going Tom Brady and the Bucs. I think the way that last game they played, I don't think that sits well. Because everybody was real quick to say, what's wrong with Tom Brady? Knowing Tom Brady like I've known him, he remembers things like that.
Okay. Real quick, any Michael Thomas injury updates?
I know
nothing.
I don't know why we ask that every day.
I don't know anything about anything.
You would think he would bring value to the show by giving us insight on his family, but he doesn't.
Woo! We're asking the Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin Nation on Twitter. And by the way, for those of you that are still listening, thanks for hanging in. Which team made a bigger mistake in the 2019 draft? The Giants with Daniel Jones or Washington with Dwayne Haskins? This is a timely question because both of these teams are actually set to face each other on Sunday. It's overwhelming. 74% of you said the Washington football team, including Jack Adonovich, at Jack Adonovich on Twitter, hitting us up on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed, Jack saying, quote, think Haskins is the bigger disappointment. Daniel Jones is just trying to prove to everyone that he can play and almost beat Tampa. Key, that's pretty good statement. It's a bookend statement because remember, Jones's first game last year, he came in against the Bucs and rallied to them that huge win in Tampa and nearly knocked off the Bucs on Monday Night Football with Tom Brady.
Well, look, here's what I would say about the Haskins-Jones deal. Jones has shown flashes of that he could be an NFL quarterback. I don't think Dwayne Haskins has gotten the benefit of the doubt, and partly because of himself, his own doing. Whenever you get reports of a guy being benched from 1 to 3, tells you there was other things that was going on, like I said. And then reports come out later, and study habits, things of that nature, wasn't taking the position serious. In the NFL, quarterback coaches, offensive coordinators, and head coaches, they want the quarterback to do the right thing. Hmm. They just, that's no matter who it is, they want you to do the right thing. That's just been the way it's been the entire time. You say, well, what is the right thing? Well, they want you to be the first one in the building, last one out of the building. They want you to say all the right things, talk, walk, say everything the way it is. They don't want you to be who you are. They want you to be robotic. And if you fall outside of that, it just rubs them the wrong way. And you say, well, how could that be? That's not fair. That's just the way they view quarterbacks.
Key, on a scale from 1 to 10, how would you rate the talent of Dwayne Haskins?
I think he has some talent, but I would have been skeptical of drafting him with only 13 or so games of college football. That to me doesn't – I need more. I need to be able to see more. I can't draft a quarterback, not a skill position player, but a quarterback with the first pick on my team to be my franchise with 1 year. That experiment, if you just look at the history, guys that come out with 1 year of college football experience at the quarterback spot tend to not pan out.
So with 10 being the best, 1 being the worst as far as talent, how would you rank him?
I think he's probably right in the middle. I think he's a 5.
Yeah. So here's my thing. If you're not doing those little things, and if you're a 5, ain't going to work.
Well, you got to do little things.
That's what I'm saying. Like, unless you're if you're coming out of college and you're a 7, like an 8, a 9, you might have more leeway to not do those little things because your talent speaks for itself. But if you don't have that talent to be jumping off the page and you're not doing the little things with the change of regime, that's enough to have you benched.
And I know they do it in college or in pro basketball just like they do it in pro football. They set this narrative about who you are, even though that may not be you. Even though Dwayne Haskins may be young and immature, they've already set a narrative in their minds in the organization that he's hella young and hella immature and he's never going to grow. So they start treating you like a kid. Now, when we saw the shot of him, instead of being on the field kneeling down, he's over there signing autographs last year. That's so immature, and so it sticks in the minds. Even though Coach Rivera wasn't there with him last year, he still saw it.
Well, I'm just saying that's awareness,
in the,
so key.
People in the building said, yeah, this guy, he's young. Yeah, he's a little immature. Then when they tell you to come in at 7 o'clock and you walk in the building at 6:50, it looks different. Or they see you leaving at 6:50 p.m. instead of 8 p.m., they go, and it stays with them. So he goes from the starter to the third. That doesn't happen unless you're doing those things.
Mm. Right. It's not just poor play.
No.
Poor practice habits, poor attitude.
It's also lack of awareness, though, Zubin.
Like,
what are you
Kyle
supposed to
Allen
be if you're a quarterback?
The world on fire.
You're supposed to be aware if you're a quarterback. That's your main tool that actually put you in that position in the first place.
It's a great point.
But you also got to know who you're getting at the quarterback spot in his personality and who he is. You can't try to change people. That's who he was at Ohio State. You should have known that when you drafted him.
Can I just play devil's advocate for 1 second? Because, you know, for me, I came out of college on a really good team, came to a bad team where the culture wasn't there, right? So I can't be up here to sit talk about awareness because I had a lack of awareness too when I was 21 years old. Sometimes that's a reflection of the organization, and I can make a case that the whole organization had a lack of awareness as well.
That's fair. It could be more of a macro issue. Just can't pin it on the
just
kid.
Saying.
Somebody had to draft him after all.
Exactly.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All of our guests on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. That includes Adam Schefter with some late-breaking news on the shutdown of the Texans facility today due to one positive COVID test. He'll join us at 8:45. Joining us now is Albert in Florida. Question, simply put, who regrets it more, Washington or the Giants, Haskins or Daniel Jones? Albert in Florida, what do you think?
First time, long time. You guys are great. Love what you're doing. I'm going to go ahead and say Washington. I'm going to agree with you guys. Daniel Jones has a lot of upside. He's got to limit the turnovers. It's getting it's getting hard to defend him as a Giants fan constantly, but it looks like he's starting to stop fumbling as much, and the interceptions need to slow down a little bit. But Haskins just never seemed like he really wanted to play for Washington, I guess, even though he looked like he was really happy to be drafted by them after he smirked at the Giants for not drafting him.
Albert,
so he should have done something with that.
Albert, favorite Bon Jovi song?
Favorite Bon Jovi song? Bad Medicine.
Did you know that one's... Jay, you knew that one, right?
I never heard of
like
Bad Medicine.
Bad Medicine is all I need. That's all I could give you. But again, we're not exactly the Grammy committee here. It's pretty obvious this morning.
I agree with him, though.
The turnovers are huge. You're a Giant fan.
I mean, yeah, he's not fumbling the ball as much, but I mean, those him not being patient in the pocket, and like I said, the key the other day, getting happy feet when he feels that stress from the pressure and feeling the need to force the throw instead of, as Key would always say, throw the ball into the third row.
Yeah, it looks very different, though, when you're back there in that cockpit, man. I'm telling you, when them bodies go to flying at you, ooh, I didn't throw a pick because of that. Got scared. It's like, take it. I don't want it.
Again, call us up, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Who made a bigger mistake, Washington or New York, with Dwayne Haskins or Daniel Jones? That's what we're asking for this morning. Coming up next, it's Take It or Shake It. We got a question, and either the fellas will say yup or nope, shake it, get it out of here, including, apropos for tonight, has Jimmy G played his last game with the San Francisco 49ers? That's next.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRICEbikes.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Man, we need to get some more energy with the take it, shake it.
Well, that's the programmer.
Take it!
Or shake it. Brought to you by Grainger. All right, here we go. It's pretty easy, right? I'm going to give the guys a scenario. Either they take it or they shake it. I'm 99.9% sure this is Taylor Swift in the background, but I'll never go 100% again. Okay. Here we go, fellas. Justin Fields should be drafted ahead of Trevor Lawrence in the upcoming April 2021 NFL draft. Take it or shake it?
Shake it!
Shake it!
And here's why I would say that. Because the process is not over yet. That's a hard one because these guys have got to continue to play. They've got to go to the combine. They got to be evaluated, not just on college football tape. I need to see him. I need to see Trevor Lawrence. I need to talk to him about his family and really dive into that find out if he's really down with it.
Greg McElroy, where are you? Get back on the show and defend yourself. I would say that we won't see the real version of Trevor Lawrence until when, Zubin? End of December? January? When they get to the college, or, you know, if that's ACC championship or if that's college football playoffs. So we can't really make that determination until then. But if Justin Fields keep playing the way he's playing right now, he's trending in that direction.
I'm glad you said trending, because I'm going to say you're hearing people starting to change their thought process slowly.
Indeed, including our David Pollack, college football analyst, who threw out the possibility he would go with Fields first over Lawrence. They met last year in the college football playoff. Lawrence got the edge. Who knows? Maybe they'll meet again this year on college football's biggest stage. Jimmy G was not on college football's biggest stage. He played at Eastern Illinois, so, but he made his hay in the NFL. Jimmy G has played his last game for the 49ers. They play tonight. Take it or shake it.
I would take it.
Take it!
But last game for the 49ers, he may come back this season. Put it this way, it's his last season with the 49ers.
Well, it is your game, so you can make the question whatever.
No,
you
it, I like it's, it. It's last season with the San Francisco 49ers because, look, here's the deal. Jay Will threw out there, what if the Jets decide they're going to take Fields or Trevor Lawrence or whoever, and now Sam Darnold's on the move. And Sam Darnold's on the move, so I'm going to give you a two for him. I paid a two for Jimmy Garoppolo. I'll give you a two for Sam Darnold. Or I'll give that two for Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan comes to me from the Atlanta Falcons, and now he's back with the guy in Kyle Shanahan that he's had pretty good success with in Atlanta.
I'm going to shake it. I just think that Kyle Shanahan is going to find a way to get to 7 wins, and his team could find themselves in the playoffs.
Indeed. Obviously, Kyle Shanahan.
Jimmy G will be the quarterback.
That's the way y'all used to dance at Duke.
Hey. But you seem like you got the dance down pat. I don't know why you say it the way I used to dance.
Like the 1960s Batman Bat-Tucci. Like, what are you doing here, bro? Come on. Come on. Last one. Notre Dame will beat Clemson Saturday night under the lights in South Bend.
Come on, Keith.
Shake it.
Shake it.
I don't want Notre Dame to win, even though Brian Kelly was on our show. I'm a Trojan. Any bad situation for Notre Dame is a good situation for me.
I'm going to go with take it. I mean, their pass defense is one of the best pass defenses in the country. And Ian Book, nobody talks about him. I know he's not the sexy guy because he doesn't throw over 400 yards, but a very competent, probably the best quarterback to ever play to play underneath Brian Kelly and his regime. I'm going with Notre Dame to win this one.
You make a great point. The fact that Notre Dame is top four in the country, one of the legendary brands in college football, and people are unfamiliar with their quarterback does say a lot about the way the college football season is going.
Don't get me started on Notre Dame.
Hey, say DJ's name again, Key.
Which DJ Agogulua?
DJ Khaled, you just go with that. Just
DJ
call
Khaled,
that.
Go with that.
I love you trying to say it really fast, though.
Yeah. You say it. You say it.
DJ Agogulua. Ah, oh, that was bad.
Okay. Now we're even.
All right,
we get, you're one of those. I get it. You, right. I can see you calling a game, really calling his name, standing there where, you know, DJ Agogulua. I can see you doing it.
When we come back from breaks, make sure I know what the bump music is and who sang it. I should say, speaking of DJ Khaled, and another. This is for you.
And another one.
And another one. See, I'm always the one word off. I was one word off this morning on the song, too.
Sorry, we didn't get to
check
tell
the
us
podcast
their cool points are still intact. Don't worry. I got you, dog.
They're not many, but they are intact. By the way, just for Jay, 51.5 is the spread on the game.
Ooh.
And believe it or not, 51.5 over under Notre Dame Clemson.
Oh. Yeah.
51.5 over under.
Okay, that's excuse me.
Spread,
I got it.
5.5. Clemson. So Notre Dame is a 5.5-point dog at home. And you kind of like the Irish Saturday night.
Yeah, I'm taking
no, that young QB, though, DJ, is legit, though.
No question.
He's legit. It's not – I'm not taking anything away from Trevor Lawrence. But that dude there, man, some of the stuff he can do with his arm and his body, like Coach Brian Kelly said, he doesn't need an offensive line to protect him.
I know there are no fans. If he pulls that game and he wins that game, wow. Like, that's impressive – For DJ, if he's able to complete that
task. Freshman quarterback.
Yes. Last thing before we get to the calls, it took him basically a half to figure it out. I'm not saying Boston College are world beaters under first-year coach Jeff Hafley.
Yeah, but, you know.
But it's an ACC team. You haven't seen live bullets in the opposition, and basically he had one half to figure it out, and he did it.
And he probably had knots in his stomach, a little nervous and stuff, and he figured it out, and he got it done.
Who wouldn't be in that spot? All right, let's
and
hit
another.
One.
And another again, one.
Get it right.
He forgot the one.
Get it right. Seriously, unbelievable. Let's go to the Dr. Pepper call-in line this morning. We're at, take it or shake it, by the way, quickly brought to you by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger is always there to help. Call clickgrainger.com/safety or just stop by. You can take it or shake it on Daniel Jones or Dwayne Haskins. We're asking you this morning on the Dr. Pepper call-in line at 888-SAY-ESPN or at KeyJNZ on Twitter if you prefer. Bottom line, is it going to be Daniel Jones or Dwayne Haskins? Who made the bigger mistake, the Washington football team or the New York Giants? Let's head to the Dr. Pepper call-in line. We will begin this morning with Tanisha in Columbus. Good morning. Haskins or DJ? Hang on.
What up, T? Hey, T. I was just about to say, Niche, how do you spell your name? Just want to make sure we got it right. Okay.
T-O-N-I-S-H-A.
Okay, I just want to make sure we got it right. That's all.
All right.
Some people call me Phony for short.
Okay.
I would say Washington got it wrong. But this is why I would say Washington got it wrong. Just like Jay said, you can't put it all on Haskins because you have to remember there were reports that there was conflict on who they wanted to take. And they went with the owner's pick instead of the owners and the coaches trying to come to an agreement on who to take. And sometimes we know that by doing that, when you know that everybody doesn't want you, especially your coach, yes, you should be able to rise above it. But like y'all said, you know, his age, his immaturity level, he probably didn't know how to handle that. So Absolutely. He was handled.
Absolutely. Did we cut her off by mistake?
What happened?
I feel Washington messed up all around.
Great stuff.
Great call. Honest that she's on point about that. When you are dealing with a young kid that can't handle things the way that he needs to, and you don't have people in your corner that you can rely on, whether it's your coaches, whether it's your agents, that don't know how to handle the situation, sometimes you can get caught in a twist.
And also, you know, for the organization, if there's not somebody to put their arm around you and say, come on, young fella, it could be very lonely for people coming from college. Like, think about college, Key. Like, you're around all your boys, team environment, all the time. Then all of a sudden you become a pro. People going home to their families. Like, you don't have the same kind of camaraderie that you would have had on the collegiate camp. Why are you laughing, kid?
No, because when you start talking about it, it just took me back to when I got drafted by the Jets. And I was young. And then I was thinking in my mind, we brought in some veteran receivers and veteran players around me. But then you said, put your arm around and go home to your families and stuff. I'm like, nah, they weren't going home to their families.
Next topic.
And the last thing for Tanisha, a great point that she made. Look, when your coach, your first coach doesn't want you, Jay Gruden started to keep his job. He's not going to play a young guy, so he never had a chance from the start. Fresh start, we'll see what happens. I'm going to make sure I spell this right. We spell Tanisha. Ray, R-A-Y in Texas, is on ESPN Radio this morning. Go ahead, Ray.
That's right. Hey, man, first things first, Key, you were part of one of the biggest decisions I ever had to make in my life as a young man. As a kid, I should say.
Which one was
that? That was the choice between becoming a Giant fan or a Jet fan. I was always a fan of both coming out of Queens. I was like, you know, I love football. I love my teams, both the New York teams. And I was like, man, I really like Keyshawn Johnson as a player, and I really want to lean towards the Jets. But at the end of the day, I love Lawrence Taylor Moore.
You made the right decision, Ray. You made the right decision.
Appreciate it, man.
You made the right decision.
Appreciate it,
Ray. As far as the question, hey, Key, you one of the best, bro, all time. For real.
Okay, Ray. Don't let it go to his head, Ray. You told him how great he is once.
My head is not going to explode. That has happened many times. It's not going to explode.
I thought you said your family doesn't listen to the show.
I love it. Zubin's loosening up. What's up, Ray?
So I'll tell you guys, as far as your question is concerned, I thought it was not a great question, man. Come on now. One is still on the field, one is not. And that's not to knock the kid, Dwayne Haskins, all the way, but who made the bigger mistake is Washington when you have a quarterback you drafted in the first round, pick number 15 overall, and he's not even on the field at all no more. He's number 3 on the depth chart. And I don't put the whole blame on Washington. I put some of it on Haskins as well. I feel like he was jaded before the draft even started. When it came to the endorsements, when it came to him being on Madden, I felt like the kid was already feeding into his own hype before he was even drafted.
That's fair.
That was part of his downfall as well.
No, that's fair. A lot of times you fall into the hype, you look at things different. And again, it's not all on Haskins. It's some of it is on the organization. And when you don't get a fair shake, people from the outside, they come in and they have a narrative about who you are in the first place, whether it's the offensive coordinator, quarterback coach, the head coach, because there's people inside the organization that feel a certain way about you too with their little whispers.
There's no question about it. And you could just say, if you want to pick Jones, the best rationale is probably they reached for him at six. Would he have been there later? If you want to go with Jones, that's probably the argument you need to make. Still to come, Adam Schefter with late breaking news that he broke this morning. Yet another NFL facility has been shut down today for the day. All the details next on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And let's get right to it and bring in Adam Schefter on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line to perhaps add a little perspective. Just the latest facility. Obviously, the Titans had a protracted absence. Teams like the Colts were just down for a day. And as Adam said, the Texans for the day. He joins us this morning. Adam, anything more you can add from your contacts?
Well, good morning, Zubin. We've seen this happen before. We see it happen on an almost daily basis now around the NFL. The Colts are having practice, even though someone from the staff of Indianapolis has been sent home today due to the COVID protocols. The Texans are dealing with that, shutting down their facility today and working virtually. We saw what happened in San Francisco yesterday with the 49ers shutting down their facility the day before they host the Green Bay Packers tonight on Thursday Night Football. This is our new reality. This is the world of the NFL, where it happens on an almost daily basis. And whereas this used to incite some hysteria early in the season, is the game going to be on? Is the game going to be played? I think we've come to understand how this works. The teams take the necessary precautions. They hope to contain the spread of the virus. They hope the individuals are okay. And the games go on, by and large. Unless there seems to be some outbreak, that is something the NFL struggles to control. The games continue, and I would imagine that will be the case in Houston. But obviously, the league and the Players Association will be monitoring the situation.
Adam, you're correct. The games do go on. And speaking of a game tonight, the San Francisco 49ers, the Green Bay Packers. Green Bay had some issues of their own, as well as the 49ers. What do you think in terms of the deadline, the trade deadline? What are you hearing that when the Packers didn't make any moves on the offensive side of the ball as well as defense?
Key, I think there was a lot more talk to what the Packers were doing than what the Packers actually did. They usually are not an overly aggressive team around the trade deadline. They make calls like other teams. They do their diligence like other teams. But Matt LaFleur, the Packers coach, said this week that he didn't think anything got close. And I'm going to take him at his word. My understanding is that nothing got close as well. And so there were conversations. They were checking on players. They were seeing if they could add help. But don't forget, it looks like they're going to be getting back Alan Lazard here pretty soon. So that will be an added wide receiver who was playing very well before he got hurt. And if you mix him in with Devontae Adams and Marquez Valdez-Scantling and all these other players that they have in Green Bay, it's not like they're bereft of weapons. Could they use more help? Sure. What team couldn't? But I don't think the Packers got as close, and I don't think there was as much movement as there was conversation about what they were doing.
Adam, what's the latest on Matthew Stafford?
Here's what happened, Key. Basically, on Monday, he came into contact with a non-team member and then was deemed a high-risk close contact to someone who did have the virus. And so he was placed on reserve COVID-19. He's not practicing this week. He has to go through 5 days of testing where he tests negative. Assuming he tests negative, which, again, we'll find out here in the coming days, then he would be eligible to come off the reserve COVID list this weekend and play against the Minnesota Vikings. If one of those tests comes back positive, being that he was in contact to somebody, then it would be Chase Daniel, who's taking the reps this week as the Lions' starting quarterback. But as of right now, I think they believe that they'll get back Stafford this weekend, and he'll be facing the Vikings, albeit in a week in which he didn't go through any practice.
Shefty, how do teams pull this off, right? I've been hearing this about the 49ers once they shut down the facilities. Hey, we're going through everything virtually. I would assume for Matthew Stafford, going through everything virtually. How does that actually work virtually and then just coming in and playing the game?
Well, they're going through meetings in Zoom sessions the way that they would be going through meetings in person, Jay. And so whatever they do in meetings, and Key would know that better than I, but whatever they're going through, assignments and tendencies and game plans, they're just doing it on the computer like so many of us are doing computers. We at ESPN, we have production meetings on the computer instead of having them in person the way we used to. And it's the same thing for these football teams and so many people in society today. They're doing conference calls. Meetings that would happen in person are being held virtually. And so it's no different for these football teams. They're going over everything in these meetings that they would be in person. It's just on the computer.
So what's the latest buzz around the Cowboys' decision to possibly start Cooper Rush or Garrett Gilbert at the quarterback position?
Well, they want to go through the week. They want to take a look at both quarterbacks. They want to see what they have. Garrett Gilbert was with the team this summer. Cooper Rush was with the team in the past. Now, my sense, just a guess, would be that it's Cooper Rush because he's got a little bit more experience with that team. And after seeing Ben DiNucci, a guy making his first NFL start on Sunday night, I think they feel a little bit more comfortable in that regard. But again, maybe Garrett Gilbert will impress them enough during the week to win the job. Bottom line here, whether it's Gilbert or Rush, this will be the Dallas Cowboys' fourth different starting quarterback in the past month. Now, if you are starting four different quarterbacks, I don't care which team it is, you're in trouble. And if you're doing your fourth quarterback against the Pittsburgh Steelers, good luck with that. Like, that's not exactly a recipe for success in the NFL, going to your fourth different quarterback against the Pittsburgh Steelers and trying to keep alive your dwindling playoff hopes in the NFC East.
Adam, I know you hate me for this, but I got to do it, and you'll probably punch me when you see me. What's going to happen with Jimmy Garoppolo in San Francisco now that he's down for at least six games?
And Adam,
moving
forward
in the future?
About 30 seconds here.
Well, you got a situation here where basically he still is going through opinions. If he needs surgery, he's out for the year. I think with the situation, I'd be surprised to see him play again this year. And if he's not playing again this year, I think that puts the 49ers in a situation during the offseason where they're evaluating all the quarterback options, whether they want to keep Jimmy G or whether there's a better alternative out there.
And I think it's been pretty clear that John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan, particularly Lynch, has a great eye for talent. Adam will keep us updated throughout the day on what's developing here with the Texans and the closure of their facility. Adam, thank you very much.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate
thanks,
it.
Adam.
Keyshawn, J. Will Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. Again, no money owed to Garoppolo next year. You called it the rollover contract. $2.8 million in a dead cap hit, which would be minimal, a pittance by NFL standards.
That's nothing. You swallow that and keep it moving.
If you feel that's not your guy, just pay it. Cut bait. On the way, we just heard about Adam's thoughts on DiNucci and Rush and Gilbert. So why would the Cowboys bench a guy that started a game for two guys that have never done that at all?
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.